when you're getting up to start your message and it's time to close your message. But I do got 5 minutes, so I'm going to make the use of it, because that's actually what part of my sermon is about, is making use of the time that God has given us. So we might go a few minutes over. I hope that's okay. We've been talking, going through our church constitution, our church covenant, and don't have time to go back and recap, but if you want to go onto the website, parksandbaptist.com, or go onto Facebook and look back at those previous messages, I think they're great messages of challenging us to live according to what we have agreed as members of this church to live. And for those who are starting up new membership class, it's been a great primer for what it is that we as a body together have said, hey, these are the values, characteristics that are important to us to live out in our daily life. So we come to the last one that we're going to be examining. We've looked at all the other ones already. And the last one that we're looking at is careful conduct. It says that we will walk wisely before the world and refrain from any of its habits that are foes of spiritual growth. Is it working? No? I'm on careful conduct, which is the next slide. There you go. That we will walk wisely before the world and refrain from any of its habits that are foes of spiritual growth. Proverbs 28:26 encapsulates, I think, that phrase. It says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. You know, the reality is we have a lot of people today that are wise in their own eyes. They have it all figured out. And God has a tendency of humbling the wise. True wisdom comes from God. And we ought to seek it. We ought to apply it. We ought to live it. So real quickly, we're going to be looking at three things that we want to do to live wisely in the world. One, we looked at last week, we're not going to cover this morning, which is conducting our finances wisely. Right? I said 2 weeks ago that if you look at your pocketbook and your calendar, you can tell a lot about a person, right? Our attention, what we give our time to, demonstrates what we value. And so we need to conduct our time wisely. That's what we're going to look at real quickly here. First of all, we need to redeem the time. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Psalms 39 says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age as it is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor, Selah. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow, and surely they busy themselves in vain, and they heap up riches, and they do not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all of my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor, Selah. You know, the reality is time is precious. Time is fleeting. What should we do with our time? Do what is right. Do what is good. Do what has lasting value. Time is a precious gift. Use it wisely. Psalm 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." You know, when we realize just how few days we have left on this earth, you know, there's a song, I think it's a country song. I don't like country music, but I think this one, I think this might be the only country song that has a good message, but this one, there's a song that says, "Live like you are dying," right? I'm sure you guys have heard that one. Live like you are dying. That's what the concept is here. Teach me to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom, because when we prioritize the shortness of the time we have here, we realize what is important. Right? There is things that are important that we need to be doing, and wisdom teaches us that. A lot of times we get carried away with the here and now. James 4 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now your boast is in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and who does not do it, to him it is sin." Conduct your time wisely. Conduct your relationships wisely. I don't have to tell you this, you already know this. Good friends are a great blessing. Anybody got a good friend? I hope so. Good friends are a great blessing. Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend." Ecclesiastes 4, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If one falls, the other one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has not one to help him." Good friends are great blessings. Bad companions, on the other hand, are a great curse. Bad companions are a curse. Do not be deceived. Children, listen to this. If your mother says, "Hey, I don't want you to go hanging around that person," here's why. Here's why. Are you listening? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Right? You can learn from your parents the right things to do. You can determine in your heart, "I am going to do what God wants me to do." But then I just start hanging around people who do not want to do what God wants to do. And what happens to my heart? What happens to my desires? They are corrupted. 2 John verses 9 through 11 says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. But if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Well, you say, "Pastor, that's not very inclusive. We're supposed to be inclusive of everybody." No, the Bible says, be protective. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Protect your family. Honor all people. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hands to do so. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. I was going to go through these really cool things about honoring others. We don't got time. Maybe another time. Lastly, conducting ourselves wisely. We need to honor God with our resources. Yes, money is one thing. Yes, time is another. But we have many resources. We have many things that we have that God has entrusted us to. And we need to honor God with every single one of them. How do we honor God? One is by helping others. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is certain. No, that's not the verse I read. We'll skip that one. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We are to provide for the people in our family. Next, we are to pursue godliness with contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says that the people who fall away, that suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and they go through this, their foolish hearts are darkened, their mind are given over to iniquity, they're given over to the lusts of their flesh. All of that starts with these two things. One is that they fail to honor God as God, and they are not thankful. And so Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. We have to follow God's ways, and we ought to be thankful. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Colossians 3:23. Honor God with your life. And the last thing that I want to talk about, the last passage I want to read, is in 1 Peter chapter 4. When we think about careful conduct, when we think about walking wisely in the world, Jesus did not promise to take us out of the world. He didn't promise to remove us from the challenges when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. He didn't promise to say, hey, as soon as you pray this prayer, you will live happily ever after. That was not the deal that we signed up for. He said he will give us eternal life, right? But we're going to have to live out the rest of this one, which means that in this world we will have tribulation. But we can be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. And so part or the essence of careful conduct is being a faithful disciple, being a faithful follower of Jesus. Faithful in what way? Faithful in every way. Faithful when my body is not working the way it should. Faithful when my spouse is not treating me the way they should. Faithful when work is not going well. Faithful to God, even when I don't feel like it. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange thing were happening to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, that you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin right here at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Did you know that God is not working to save your life in this life? Now, He might give us relief, right? But every single one of us are going to die. Every single one of us. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe 100 years. Maybe Landon will live 100 years. Hezekiah prayed. He was sick. God told him he was going to die. He said, please, God, extend my life. God gave him 15 years. How fast does 15 years go by? What is God working? He is working in our heart to give us eternity. He has put eternity in our heart. This body is death. This body is going to die. This body is corrupted. If our hope is in this body, we have misplaced it. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in eternal glory with Him. That's where our inheritance lies. And so we live out this life in service to Him. Not to accumulate all of our treasures and all of our dreams in this life, but to live out this life as a faithful gift back to Him for the eternity that He is going to give for us. A faithful disciple. Don't be surprised when you come across fiery trials that are going to try you. They're going to test your faith. They're going to say, do you really believe? Are you really willing to be faithful? And you say, oh, I'm at my wit's end. I don't have any more strength to continue. Sin is going to take control of me. Bitterness, temptation. We must remain faithful. We must remain faithful to the end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are an amazing Father. You are a good, good Father. But Lord, we also must remember that Your plan is an eternal plan. Your plan is not climaxing in the next 5 years or the next 5 minutes. Your plan is much bigger, much greater. And so as we live out our daily lives, we know that You love us. We know that You care for us. We know that You're working for our good. But Lord, we know that You are going to be faithful to us, even when You don't do what we want You to do. Even when our prayers go unanswered, You are still faithful. You are still loving. You are still good. But Lord, we do thank You that out of an abundance of grace and mercy, You do answer prayers. Lord, You give us the desires of our heart when they are for our good. So Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to seek You with all of our hearts. Help us to live for You and make You the priority that You deserve to be in our life. Lord, help us to dedicate ourselves and to our children that we would raise them up to love You, to do Your will, to be the hands and feet in this world so that we can see Your love spread around. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name. Pray. Amen.